Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
2 years and 3 days later, Israel announces today that the ceasefire has begun and troops began their withdrawal from parts of Gaza, part of the President Donald Trump's comprehensive plan to end the Gaza conflict. Here to talk to us about it, Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst. Colonel, welcome to the show.
Neil, always a pleasure.
Colonel, we've talked about this many, many times over the past several years about the intricacies of this. First, I was pleasantly surprised that it happened, that it occurred, and I'm pleasantly surprised that we've actually hit some of the, I guess, early onset milestones as it relates to the 20-point plan. Your thoughts?
No, I couldn't agree with you more, Newell. I mean, a few weeks ago when the Israelis did an airstrike against the Hamas political leadership headquarters there in Doha, Qatar, when Doha, the Qataris were conducting negotiations, which the United States had urged them to do, indirect negotiations between Israel and Hamas, trying to find a settlement. When the Israelis conducted that airstrike, that's when I said, this is over. There's not going to be any particular settlement. Poor Qatar had been struck by both Iranian missiles and now Israeli bombs within a period of 11 weeks. And its major crime was trying to be an intermediary to try to find a solution to the conflicts in the region. But as you pointed out at the top of this, we now are at a point where it looks like there's a possibility, at least, that we can move forward towards some kind of a peace settlement. Now, I think we need to be very realistic about where we are and where we aren't. Where we are right now is a ceasefire. There's a ceasefire ongoing in Gaza. I think it began about noon local time in the Middle East. Israelis confirmed that. But that's what it is. It's a ceasefire. Both sides are not shooting at each other at the moment. The Israelis are in the process of or have fulfilled the obligation of pulling their forces back to agreed positions in Gaza. But they'll still physically control about 50% of the Gaza Strip. And efforts are ongoing now by the international community to bring in massive, rapid international aid to the 2 million Palestinians that are still in the Gaza Strip. And that's beginning as we speak. Between now, as my understanding, Monday, in about 72 hours from the signing of the beginning of the ceasefire, there should be the release of hopefully as many as 20 living hostages and maybe 25 to 30 bodies of deceased hostages by Hamas. In return, the Israelis will release about 1,500 Gazans who have been detained since this war began and about 250 Palestinians who are serving life sentences in Israeli jails. And those folks were actually arrested by the Israelis almost in every case, I think, prior to the onset of these hostilities. And if we can get through all that, then we'll move forward to the negotiations on the future of Gaza governance. Will there be a peacekeeping force? Who will comprise it? What happens to Hamas? Are we going to create agreed procedures to disarm them, et cetera? But again, I think we need to be very realistic. We're at a ceasefire right now, which for the first few hours seems to be holding. And if that then succeeds, then we can move on to that negotiation, which we all hope will bring longer-term peace and stability in the region.
In your mind, how important is it that Israel took the first step? They announce the ceasefire, and they immediately retreat to the preset boundaries that was part of the 20-point plan that President Trump brought forward. You know, it was always kind of a wait-and-see thing before, is who's going to make that first step? Your thoughts?
No, I think you're exactly right. Again, I think, you know, you have to give President Trump a great deal of credit. The outline of this particular 20-point plan, Mr. Trump has pushed, really, if you look back on it, doesn't look terribly different than the outline of a plan created by Joe Biden about a year ago. The difference is that Mr. Trump was willing to apply the pressure, particularly on Netanyahu, to get him to agree to it. And that was the difference. And the second big difference is, of course, the war had gone on a year longer. Hamas had suffered a lot more casualties, and we all also had witnessed the weakening, if not the destruction, of a significant number of proxy organizations for Iran, that being Hezbollah, that being to some degree the Houthis down in Yemen, as well as Iran itself after a short war with Israel and strikes by the United States, and the collapse of the Assad regime, which had been allied with the Iranians. And so now Hamas realized that it had lost a significant amount of its own military capabilities, and there was no one who was going to come to their rescue or be able to provide them significant assistance in future. And then last but not least, of course, I think pressure by the Israeli people on the Netanyahu government that they wanted a solution that at least offered the possibility of the release of the hostages. And the people in Gaza, frankly, to the degree they can, applying pressure on Hamas by saying, in essence, what have you delivered us for the last 2 years except destruction and death and famine across the region?
You know, it's kind of interesting. Hindsight, obviously, is 2020, right? And you look back at some of what you just talked about some of the similarities with the Biden administration. Obviously, I'm not sure that the Biden administration would have taken the same approach to Syria. I'm pretty damn sure they would have never bombed Iran, right? And I feel pretty confident with what little I know, and that's why I'm asking you the question, is your thoughts, that they would have put as much pressure on Qatar as well as the UAE and Egypt. Your thoughts?
Well, let me just walk through the reverse order. Pressure on Qatar and Egypt to do what? I mean, they were trying to be the honest broker and negotiate between Israel and Hamas in an indirect fashion. So I think in many ways they were doing the best they can. In the case of the Egyptians, we've got to understand that in many ways Egypt has been a big loser in all this because of this conflict, there's been a dramatic reduction in revenue that they get for the Suez Canal because of the diversion of shipping that doesn't want to have missiles shot at it by the Yemenis, and a continual fear on the part of the Egyptians that if this went catastrophic, they could see 2 million Palestinians trying to make their way into Egypt. So I'm not sure how putting pressure on
well, I think there's been, you would agree, there's been some back channel, I think, assurances that have been made to all of these folks. And it's beginning to be revealed to some of the back channel assurances that the U.S. has given Qatar.
Right now, and that is necessitated by the fact that, you know, again, Qatar, we skip over the fact that Qatar has been a very loyal ally of the United States. Mr. Trump visited Qatar. They gave him an airplane last time I checked. Okay. and when the Israeli, I'm sorry. So
maybe you and I need to befriend Qatar, right?
Exactly. You and I got the wrong friends. You know, when the Iranians fire missiles at Qatar, where we have the largest base the United States has in the Middle East, the biggest base we have in the Middle East, our Patriot missile batteries engage those particular missiles and shoot them all down because they're an ally of us. When Israeli warplanes show up to drop bombs or shoot missiles at Qatar, somehow that just happens, and either A, we're too incompetent to engage those things, or B, we just turn a blind eye. That's how Qatar looks at it. So the recent assurances by the Trump administration to Qatar that they are an ally, the United States stand behind them, and basically saying that we'll come to your assistance is because we had lost so much credibility not only with the Qataris, but that particular incident, I would argue, we sacrificed a lot of credibility across the region. It wasn't by accident that in the aftermath of the Israeli strike against Qatar, there's a sudden announcement in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Arabians have signed a defense pact with Pakistan, whereby Pakistan will come to Saudi Arabia's assistance if it's attacked. And don't forget, Pakistan has 160 nuclear weapons. Pakistanis probably have as big or a bigger nuclear arsenal than Israel.
And maybe, it collectively throughout the Middle East, in its totality, probably greater than that, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, nobody else in the Middle East has nuclear weapons except for Pakistan and the Israelis.
Right. Exactly.
There's always a concern the Iranians might acquire one, but I'm pretty confident I say at this moment they don't have one. And the Saudis sure don't either. But now they're looking for someone to defend them if they are attacked by Israel, if they're attacked by Iran, whoever, because that particular attack by the Israelis against Qatar had undermined U.S. credibility. They had always been on our side. The Qataris let us have that big base in their territory because they believed the United States would defend them if attacked. And they were attacked, and we didn't do anything.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The role of Turkey. How important has that been?
Very important. The Turks behind the scenes, I think, have been actually in many ways the catalyst for all this, because in addition to Qatar negotiating indirectly between Hamas and Israel, the Egyptians providing that, the Turks as well. And the Turks have been the one, I think, been insisting not only to Hamas that you need to accept a settlement and get this war over with. They have also been keenly important in talking with the other Arab countries in the world, who now publicly, as part of this solution, have denounced Hamas's attack on Israel, have called for a peace agreement, and at least ostensibly have offered military forces to go into the Gaza Strip to provide a peacekeeping force. That being said, I think it's important to read the fine print. And the fine print appears from the announcements by the Arab states is we're willing to do that, and to bring about a stable peace in the region and a future of the two-state solution. So they're saying, yeah, we'll be happy to assist in the rebuilding. We'll be happy to bring forces in to provide security. But part of the deal is we're going to move towards a two-state solution, or at least give that particular possibility, you know, a little breathing space, which further to me suggest the degree of pressure Mr. Trump had to place on Netanyahu, because the idea of a Palestinian state is an anathema to Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah. So it seems to me that one of the difficult things going into the next phase, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is really going to be management of expectations, right?
Absolutely.
I for one, And I'm sure you do, too. I don't trust Hamas. I don't know that anybody has any good reason to trust Hamas.
Of course not.
You know, and the laying down of arms has historically been thought of as a bridge too far.
Yeah.
Can we achieve that? I mean, there's going to have to be a lot of emotional intelligence and a lot of patience.
Yeah, you just brought up the $64 question. You know, it's certain we could be developing a crisis expectation, and that, in fact, is why when I described this to begin with, let's be very clear-eyed about where we are and where we're not. Okay, and we're at a ceasefire, and we're not at a settlement and a plan for the resurrection to some degree of the Gaza Strip, and that's going to demand enormous assets, resources, and persistence. And that's why, frankly, I'm a little concerned. I understand why he did it this way, perhaps, that Mr. Trump now is going to be the chairman of the Peace Committee, ostensibly, which is going to be the governing body for the Gaza Strip. I'm sorry, this is 150 square miles on the planet Earth. The President of the United States got more important things to do. Okay, and I applaud his efforts to bring this to a conclusion, but the President of the United States, whoever he is or she is, doesn't have the time and energy that's going to take to focus on this effort, keep everybody moving in the same direction, make sure we galvanize resources and go through the endless series of problems that are going to arise over the next, who knows, 5 to 10 years or more it's going to take to rebuild the Gaza Strip. So that bothers me a little bit. Now, Hamas aside, you're right, I wouldn't trust Hamas at all. And I'm really concerned about, does the political leadership of Hamas, who frankly has spent the whole war in Doha or in Cairo, has been sleeping in air-conditioned hotel rooms and hasn't missed a meal lately, has absolute and total control over all the remaining fighters that Hamas has in the Gaza Strip. And as a consequence, I'm not sure you can absolutely say that every one of those guys in the Gaza Strip is ready individually to surrender. Don't forget, it was the 1970s, as I recall, that the last Japanese soldier actually surrendered in the Philippines. So the people can drag this on. Because they believe in the cause or they believe in becoming martyrs or whatever. And there are other groups that are involved we don't talk much about. There's the Islamic Jihad in the Gaza Strip. There's criminal activities in the Gaza Strip that have been involved in all these things. So bringing that to a closure and working out procedures for Hamas to disarm is going to be a really tough negotiation. And then from the standpoint of Hamas, even if you want to go to a future peace, and you're willing to give down your arms, to some degree, you got to trust the Israelis. If you're a soldier, and I've been fighting this guy for the last 2 years, handing him my weapon is kind of the last thing I really want to do, because I don't trust him either.
Well, it's interesting because Hamas is really a collection of free agents, right? To use an NFL, term.
Yeah.
And that's very difficult. And what's also interesting, and if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, talk about the independent tribal leaders in Gaza, Palestinian, who probably 60 to 90 days, maybe it may be longer, you tell me, began to really push back on Hamas. In fact, had many skirmishes with Hamas here reported recently that I think was kind of a game changer too, right?
Yeah, there's that dynamic going on. I can't say I'm enough of an expert on, the demographic and cultural, composition of the population. But certainly they were expressing their disquiet that you got us into this for the last 2 years, and please tell us what it has brought us except death and destruction, right? And I think I'll change your analogy slightly. I wouldn't call Hamas a bunch of free agents. I would put you like this. It's more like franchises, Think of Burger King. No offense to Burger King.
Okay. Fair enough.
we all got our store, and it's got a Hamas sign on the store. But how we run this store may be somewhat unique in terms of our workforce. So that's kind of the metaphor I would draw as opposed to total free agents.
Much better suited. Let's just real quick. I only got a minute. Timeline.
Yeah, I gotta go. Yeah,
I think if everything went perfectly 100%, we know that's not going to happen. I mean, we're looking at 5 to 8 years, right?
Easy.
I mean,
yeah, we're looking 5 to 8 years at least if all the resources are galvanized or well coordinated. We keep everybody's attention on the Gaza Strip, but we know some other crisis is going to emerge. But I'll tell you, the other thing we need to worry about, seriously, is I've talked to a lot of people across the region, and this has really alienated the United States in the eyes of many Arabs across the region, not necessarily rulers and royalty and whatever, but the average guy on the street. And I worry that that may translate in future to, frankly, more and more people not necessarily joining Hamas, but joining, pick your nightmare, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, pick somebody else. Because
a new group.
Of what has occurred in the Middle East, or a whole new group. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. As always, totally enjoy the conversation with you, Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst. Thank you so much for joining us today. We know you're busy. Have a great weekend.
Take care, Joe.
Thank you, sir. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.